feel the warmth of your hand. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
To have the ushers come and you guys can greet each other. If you know this song, help me sing it.
Treasure remains for those gladly choose you now.
God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those gladly choose you now.
Oh, come,
now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you, God, for your goodness. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I figured with the holiday weekend behind us and the majority of the fair in front of us and this Wednesday night stuck in between that... We would be few in number, and then as the calls and texts came in, I realized that that was certainly going to be the case. But God bless you for coming out and being at the church instead of being at the fair. There'll be plenty of that to be had, I assure you. My family and I are planning to be out there tomorrow for a good part of the day and let the kids ride rides so they get sick and all that good stuff. But I'm sure my wife will eat her share of sweet corn, and we'll get some of that good comfort food and all that good stuff. But thankful that you're here in the house of the Lord tonight. We do want to take some knees of the Lord in prayer. Ask you to continue to remember Brother Bill Kellum. He's still battling some issues, and they still don't have all the answers to what he's dealing with. He is getting some relief, but still not 100%, not able to be here in service tonight. So if you know Brother Bill, it's not like him to miss multiple services, and so you know he has to be feeling very ill, and so we want to lift him up before the Lord tonight, ask the Lord to bless him and recover the situation. Also, as you remember, Sister Angela Dool had some outpatient surgery today, not able to be here tonight, so let's just pray that they did everything they needed to do, and everything comes back good, and there's no more issue, and I know that she covered your prayers. Concerning that, ask you to continue to remember the Mander family and the loss of the little child. My wife actually met them today. And let's just continue to lift them up before the Lord and pray for them in that situation there. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to bring to the church? Would you slip up your hand? Brother Wallace, I saw your hand first. Yes. Please remember Sister Rachel. Got a text from her earlier. She's not able to be here tonight. Let's remember her in prayer. Sister Kellum. All right. Friend of the Elder Kellum's had a heart attack. Let's remember him in prayer. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to bring to the church? Sis Holly. All right. Certainly. Why don't you stand? And let's go to the Lord right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you that we can cry out unto you. Whatever the need is, whatever the concern, the care of this life, Lord, we know that you're there. You're willing and able, God, desirous to answer, to work in our midst, God. Lord, to manifest your power, your glory, God. We ask that you would touch hearts and minds of individuals. Lord, we lift Brother Bill Kellum up before you in prayer, God. We ask that you would work in his situation, God, that you would give him a healing touch, God. Give the doctors and the medical professionals wisdom in dealing with his situation. Lord, ultimately, you are the great physician, God, and we place him in your almighty hands for you to work and to move in his life. Lord, for Sister Duell, God, we thank you, God. Guide them, Lord, in their decisions concerning, God, what's next for her, God. But ultimately, Lord, we place her in your hands. We believe and trust in your power to heal and to help, Lord, for those unspoken needs mentioned tonight, God, friends and loved ones, God, dealing with health situations. Lord, we know that we can cry out unto you. We know, Lord, that we can put our faith and trust in you, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. We praise you, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are starting out into a new subject. Again, it's one that I don't have a definitive number of lessons. It's just kind of one of those things that we're launching out into. And a lot of times when I'm ending a series, as we did last week, and I'm praying and asking God to give me guidance concerning what to go into, and you'll know that some of this has spawned from what I preached on Sunday morning. And it is something that has been going over and over in my spirit, and I'm reading a book that is a lot along these lines, and just different, and all these things that I was praying about and reading about just led me in the direction of bringing this to us as a subject or a lesson, series of lessons. And might I say this, I believe that in our day and age, and not even our day and age, but throughout all of human history, this is quite possibly the most important subject for each and every one of us. Discerning between good and evil. We know from the very beginning, and we're gonna go into this detail. We're gonna look into it in much greater detail come next week. But at the very beginning, it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that Adam and Eve were forbidden to eat of, and we're gonna go into that a little bit, and more than just a little bit. We're gonna go into that in detail next week. But tonight is just gonna be an introduction. Subject overview, what we're going to talk about and discerning between good and evil, why it is so important. And you'll notice the focus verse is a verse that I referenced Sunday morning during the course of the message. And before we get there, I want to give this graphic. How many of you see the word evil? You can raise your hand. That's what this is. Okay. How many of you see the word good? I saw this, this was an image search, and this came up on the image search, and I thought to myself, wow, this is, if there was a picture that kind of summarizes the state of our society, it's this. It's good and evil, but not being able to really discern. There's people that think they can see, there's people that think they know the difference between right and wrong and good and evil, but this is, if you will, kind of a depiction of the state of our society. We live in a troubling time where people are not able to discern between good and evil. We live in a time, I believe, that Isaiah prophesied and said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." And I believe that we are living in that day. I believe that we are living in a day where people will look at something that is good and call it evil, and people will look at something that is evil and call it good. And so if we as Christians, as we as the body of believers are, if there's anybody that should feel the need and the necessity of understanding and being able to discern the difference between good and evil, it is us. We as the church, we as the bride of Christ, if we have trouble distinguishing and we are wavering in our understanding and we don't know the difference between good and evil, what hope is there for the world? If we cannot come to clear and concise choices and decisions concerning whether or not that thing is good or it is evil, then if we can't, how in the world are we going to be able to express and teach as much to a world? Brings me to our key verse, if you will. It's a verse that I referenced Sunday morning. It's found in Hebrews chapter 5. It says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses. Everybody say senses. Their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As I read this passage of Scripture, I personalized it. I endeavored to become a wise transitioner. I endeavor to look at this scripture and say the Apostle Paul, though he or whoever, some believe it was the Apostle Paul who wrote Hebrews, others would disagree with that. We don't know for sure. But the writer of Hebrews, I believe that he was, in essence, indirectly writing to me. Yours truly. Because I, as a teacher of the gospel, I as a preacher of the gospel, it's in order for me to be able to teach, in order for me to be able to preach the difference between good and evil, I must know the difference between good and evil. And I believe the writer of Hebrews was somewhat, and I personalized it, and I thought to myself, I have need that I look at it again. That I look into this subject of discerning good and evil, and I, as I teach and as I preach, I understand the importance. I understand that we are at a place, and when I say we, I'm talking about the Church of the Living God, where if we're not careful, if we're not careful, we're going to call some things that are evil, good. And we may call some things that are good, evil. So, I don't know about you, but I am interested in being able to discern. I am interested in being able to understand and know the difference between good and evil, to know what is right and what is wrong. I want to have a mind that is set upon the things of God, so much so that when it comes to decisions in my life, and when it comes to opportunities in my life, and when it comes to things that I approach in my life, I am able to discern between good and evil. I don't want to be a babe. I want to be someone who is growing up in God, and I'm able to endure strong meat. I am able to get off the bottle and know the difference between good and evil. Let's talk about this word discern. Let's first look at the secular definition, or I don't know what dictionary you use, or I like the Merriam-Webster dictionary, so I looked up this word discern online, and so this is the definition according to Merriam-Webster. Number one, to detect with the senses. Number two, to recognize or identify as separate and distinct, to discriminate, to discern right from wrong, to come to know or recognize mentally, to be able to discern between good and evil. It is the battle that has begun since the beginning of human history, the battle between good and evil. And though we all hopefully have the desire to see good prevail, whether or not it prevails in my life is going to have a lot to do with whether or not I'm able to discern what is good and what is evil. Here it is, if you look up that word discern that is used in the passage where we read in Hebrews, and then you were to do a word study, you will find this definition. It is to separate thoroughly, rather, to discriminate, to judge, and thereby decide between. Now, we have to be careful because many times we read passages of Scripture that say, judge not lest you be judged yourselves. And we think for some reason that stops us from being able to discriminate, or that stops us from being able to judge. But the Bible tells us that we are to judge the spirits. The Bible tells us that we are, and that we will judge with the angels. The Bible tells us that we have opportunity. And whether or not we judge correctly, whether or not we discriminate correctly, whether or not we are able to thoroughly separate good and evil depends upon whether or not we are able to discern good and evil. Because I want to be one. I don't want evil in my life. I don't want evil near my family. I don't want evil to encroach upon what I'm endeavoring to do in my walk and relationship with God. And so in order for me to keep evil at bay, I've got to recognize it for what it is. I've got to be able to disseminate whether or not that thing is evil, whether or not that influence is evil. And I've got to be able to discern and say, wait a second, that's evil. That stays away. Or that's good, and that I need to make a part of my life. And while on the surface we may say and we may think to ourselves, well, that's pretty easy, that's pretty cut and dry, I dare say it's not. The Bible tells us that there are some things that cannot be known, for they are spiritually discerned. So there are some things that on the surface may look good. I remind you of what the Bible says concerning Eve when she saw that it was good for food. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Catch it. They were to stay away from it. The Bible says that God commanded Adam, you don't eat of it. But wait a second. It was the knowledge of good and evil. Many times we look at that tree as being an evil thing because God forbid it. And yes, it was a tree of the knowledge of evil, but it was also the tree of the knowledge of good. Stay with me because we're going to go into this pretty deep. And we're going to go all the way back to the beginning starting next week. And we're going to talk about what happened, what actually transpired when Eve ate of the fruit. And why maybe that she went so far as to put it in her mouth and partake of it. Has to do with discerning the difference. Somewhere along the line, Eve did not discern correctly between good and evil. And she partook of something that in her senses told her it was all right. It was okay. I thought about this, even in reference to our English language, even in reference to our vernacular, we use the word all right. Well, that's all right. And when you think about that word, that should mean that every part is right. It's all right. But in actuality, when we say all right, what that means is that it's okay. That it means it has some good attached to it. It doesn't actually mean that it's all right. Like when somebody does something and we say, oh, well, that's all right. We're not saying that that's everything about that is right. We're simply saying there's some, it's okay. There's some right to that. But see, what we misunderstand is that, wait a second, even in our own English language, we have used terms to identify something. We say it's all right, but it's not all right. There's wrong attached to it, but somehow we say it's all right. Stay with me. Why is this so important? Let's look at this generation. Let's look at the words of Jesus in Luke 11, 29 through 32. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but sign of Jonas the prophet, or Jonah the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Now pay attention. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Often wondered why Jesus used these two individuals, if you will. Why did Jesus use the Queen of Sheba in reference to the wisdom of Solomon? And why did Jesus use Jonah in reference to the men of Nineveh? Why does Jesus take this opportunity in reference to the evil generation he is addressing and say, these two people, or these two types of people rather, will rise up in judgment with this generation, the Queen of the South, or the Queen of Sheba, and the men of Nineveh? So let's ask a few questions. Who does Jesus reference in his remarks regarding those who would rise up in judgment of this generation? I just said it. Who are the two individuals? This is audience participation. Queen of Sheba and the men of Nineveh. Jesus says the Queen of the South, or the Queen of Sheba, shall rise up in judgment with this generation, and the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation. Why did Jesus use these two? Why did Jesus use the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, and the men of Nineveh? Why do you think that Jesus would reference people of both genders? Think about it. The Queen of Sheba, a she. The men of Nineveh, males. Why do you think that Jesus would reference both genders? Why would Jesus use in this story, in this dialogue, if you will, with the generation, the evil generation? Because sometimes if we look at the story, the Bible tells us that while Adam was not deceived, the woman was deceived. Now catch this. Catch the understanding. Catch the implication in what Jesus is saying here. What Jesus is doing is he's listen, neither gender is exempt. The men can't blame the women, and the women can't blame the men. Because what's the first thing that Adam did when the Lord spoke to him and said, "So you ate of it. Lord, it's this woman that you gave me. She did eat the fruit and she gave it to me." Folks, there's a reason why Jesus, in addressing the evil generation, addresses the Queen of Sheba and the men of Nineveh. He addresses both genders, the female and the male. We will not be able to stand before God. And women, you will not be able to stand before God and say, "Well, my husband did not teach me." And vice versa. Jesus addresses both genders. So that begs the question, what do the Queen of Sheba and the men of Nineveh have in common? Jesus saying they're both going to rise up in judgment with this generation. So what do they have in common? Anybody want to guess? No? It's close. Sister Christie said they both acknowledge wisdom. Well, let's look at it a little bit deeper. Not only was Jesus addressing both genders, but Jesus was using these two individuals, the Queen of the South or the Queen of Sheba, and using the men of Nineveh as examples of those who would rise up in judgment with this evil generation. So let's look at these examples. Let's look at the Queen of Sheba. Let's look at the scripture verse the verses that talk about her experience and her encounter. Wow. Let's look at Solomon's prayer. Let's look at what Solomon prayed as he took the throne of his father David. Let's look at Solomon's prayer before God, because we all should know that the king of Solomon is who Jesus references this Queen of Sheba went to see. She went. She heard of the wisdom of Solomon, and so she decided to go. Here's the prayer of Solomon, 1 Kings 3:9. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may" what? "Discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" Solomon's prayer was for discernment. Solomon wanted to know the difference between right and wrong. Solomon wanted to know the difference between good and evil, or good and bad. Solomon prayed for discernment. And so we have the Queen of Sheba, who hears of the wisdom of Solomon. 1 Kings 10:1-5. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to what? Prove him with hard questions. She came to ask him hard questions. Is he really as wise as they say he is? Can he really discern between good and evil like they say he can? And the Bible says she came, and her primary purpose in coming was to prove whether or not he could discern between good and evil. And she came not only with gifts, but she came with her questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. Now look at this. She comes to him with hard questions. The man who prayed for discernment between good and evil, she comes to him, and the Bible tells us that he told her all that was in her heart. It's not a stretch to say that Solomon told her the difference between good and evil. He answered, the Bible says, all her questions. She didn't come to him with questions as to what to cook for dinner. She came to him with heartfelt questions, wanting to know the difference between right and wrong. I believe that she had a heart to judge her people like Solomon had a heart to judge his people. And so she comes to him because she wants to know how to judge her people right. She wants to be able to discern between good and evil. And so she comes with gifts to the one who she's heard knows the difference. When the Queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. In other words, she no longer doubted. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made thee king to do what? Judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. When she saw it, when she heard the wisdom, when he answered all her questions, and she saw everything that surrounded him, the Bible says there was no more spirit in her. She no longer doubted. Not only did she no longer doubt, she said, listen, the half was not told me. It's exceedingly more than I even thought. And she gave gifts, 120 talents of gold and spices, so much so that the Bible references that there was never any more abundance of spices than what was given to King Solomon by the Queen of Sheba. Now let's look at the men of Nineveh. See, why would Jesus put these two together? Why would Jesus use the Queen of Sheba and the men of Nineveh as the two examples that would rise up in judgment against the evil generation? Look at Jonah, just 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Their wickedness has come up before me. Why were they wicked? Now, you could do some study and you could look at some historical things concerning the city of Nineveh and find out that it was a horrid city. They were an exceedingly wicked city. But let's look at Jonah chapter 4 as to why Nineveh was so exceedingly wicked. Jonah 4:11. This is the Lord speaking to Jonah. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot what? Discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. The right hand and the left hand is in reference to good or evil. Is in reference to good or bad. Do you understand that the key, what is the player between the Queen of Sheba and the men of Nineveh, is discernment? Do we not see the parallel and the understanding that the Queen of Sheba sought discernment? And so she went to the one who prayed for discernment. And now the men of Nineveh are exceedingly wicked. And the Bible says it is simply because they cannot discern between their right and their left. They do not know the difference between good and evil. Can I stop here and say this? Not understanding or not being able to discern between good and evil will always lead to evil. It will always result in wickedness. The men of Nineveh are the example. They could not discern between the right hand or the left. They didn't know the difference between right or wrong. And so their wickedness was such that it came up before God. And the Lord said, I've got to send someone so that they can somehow discern the difference between right and wrong. Now look at the response of the men of Nineveh. So the people of Nineveh believe God and proclaim a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh. See, there's another reason why. We're going to talk about here in just a moment. There's another reason why Jesus would use the Queen of Sheba and the men of Nineveh. Because there's only two things that happen in relation to discernment. Either I, as the Queen of Sheba, go looking for it, or it comes to me. Catch this. And the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God, yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way. Wait a second. The Lord says that they can't discern between the right hand or the left. They don't know the difference between good or evil. But then God sends Jonah, and Jonah preaches in the city. And Jonah, who doesn't really even care. Matter of fact, Jonah, who would rather they be wiped off the face of the earth. Jonah brings them word. Jonah lets them know the difference between good and evil, because it becomes apparent that once the king gets the word, he realizes we're evil. We're doing evil things. We're an evil people. Everybody, put on sackcloth and sit in ashes and don't drink. Don't even let your animals drink. So that we turn from our evil ways and from the violence that is in our hands, in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Jesus used the Queen of Sheba and the men of Nineveh as the example of those who would rise up in judgment with this generation. And I believe that Jesus was speaking in reference to our generation. I believe that Jesus was speaking in reference to you and me. And here's the thing. The Queen of Sheba went in search of discernment. She wanted to know. She had questions. She wanted to know the difference between good and evil. She sought it out for herself. She wanted it revealed unto her, the difference between good and evil. Because the knowledge, the discernment between good and evil, it's going to come one of two ways. It's either going to come by revelation, by going and seeing and witnessing it herself as she did, or it's going to come by communication, in the sense that Jonah came to the city of Nineveh and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. And he began to show them their evil ways. And the Bible says, because he communicated unto them that they were evil. He showed them the difference between good and evil. For the men of Nineveh, discernment was brought to them. Discernment came by way of Jonah. And Jesus said, listen, the men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment against this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Because it came to them, Jonah communicated the difference between good and evil. And so they responded. Their response revealed the importance of discerning between good and evil. Queen of Sheba gave all of this sacrifice. She gave all of this offering in response to the discernment that she was revealed unto her. And the men of Nineveh, what did they do? Well, they adorned themselves in sackcloth and ashes, and they repented of the evil that they did. These people, the Bible says, will rise up in judgment of this generation, and there will be no excuse for our inability. Catch this. There will be no excuse for our inability to discern between good and evil. How important is discernment? How important is understanding the difference between good and evil? It's so important that the one subject that would tie the Queen of Sheba and the men of Nineveh together, discernment, Jesus said they're going to rise up in judgment. And there will be no excuse good enough when we stand before our Maker in judgment as to why we did not know the difference or our inability to be able to discern between good and evil. You know, I won't have a valid reason. I won't be able to say, well, Lord, I didn't know that was evil. I didn't know that that was good. James went so far to say this. You know how important discernment is? For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. How important? I dare say it's one of the, if not the most important subject in all the Bible, the discernment between good and evil. So much so that it was that tree of the knowledge of good and evil that started all of this, if you will, in the sense of evil. By one man, the sin of one man, death entered into the world. And now all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is the reason why, folks, if we do not discern the difference between good and evil, evil we will do. Why? Because our heart is evil and desperately wicked. And so unless, catch this, unless I am able to discern the difference between good and evil, unless I am spirit-led in my understanding as to whether it is good or whether it is evil, and I make the right choice, I am setting myself up for failure. Because my heart is evil. It's desperately wicked. It's seeking not good. I'm sorry, but anybody that tells you that man is inherently good does not understand their scripture. Because every time when we have reference where people do what is right in their own eyes, it is wicked, it is sinful, it is evil. And so the only hope that you and I have, and quite honestly the only hope that this whole world has, is that there would be a people who are able to discern between good and evil. Because if you cannot discern between good and evil, how are you able to stand for good and against evil? If you do not know the difference between what is right and what is wrong, how do you stand for what is right? I heard a statement today that rocked my world. Somebody said, just because we have the right doesn't make it right. It dawned on me. We are all about having rights. We are endowed with our Creator with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we all like that. But we've got to be careful, because that freedom can sometimes bind us. Because that freedom, if it is not exercised in the understanding of the difference between good and evil, just because I have the right does not make it right. Apostle Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but it edifieth not. What is he saying? Listen, I understand there is a difference. And as I preached Sunday morning, he said, with my mind, I serve the law of God. I've come to understand the difference between good and evil. And if you and I are going to pass the test, and we're going to make heaven our home, and we're going to get our families there on the other side, it's going to come as a result of knowing the difference between good and evil. Now, I want to be like Job. The Bible says he was a man that eschewed evil. But what I fear is that even the Church of the Living God, we have allowed evil in because we see some good in it. If we're not careful, we allow a wolf in sheep's clothing, and it destroys the flock. Closing, you can stand to your feet. How am I going to teach others the difference if I don't know it myself? How am I going to help others avoid the traps, the pitfalls, and the devices of the enemy if I don't see them for myself? Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a ditch. If you can't discern between good and evil, how in the world are you going to help others discern between good and evil? How in the world are you going to be able to lead other people in ways that are right if you don't know the right way yourself? I don't know about you, but I'm interested. Because maybe, you need to understand, I'm transparent and candid enough to say that maybe me. Maybe I've let some things in that are masked with some goodness, and I think it's all right, but it's the effects it's having on my life are not good. Maybe I'm partaking of stuff that seems like it's good, but as I peel back the layers, I realize, wait a second. We're going to talk about this a little bit more next week. But the Bible says that when she saw that it was good for food, Adam gave her some communicated knowledge. Adam said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. But the Lord told Adam, don't eat of it. Why would Adam take it a step further? Why would Adam tell Eve, don't even touch it? Maybe, pure conjecture, don't know this for sure, Bible doesn't say. Maybe, just maybe, Adam at one time walked up to that tree and felt the fruit and said, wow, it feels like all the other fruit we can eat. And he said, Eve, don't even touch it. Because if you touch it, it's going to feel like all the other fruit. Are we going to get into that pretty in depth next week? Because there's a difference between revealed knowledge and communicated knowledge. And maybe, just maybe, I realize it was all in the plan of God. I realize that he's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But maybe, just maybe, we can learn from Adam and Eve and what happened in their relationship, and what happened in relation to them partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And maybe, just maybe, as a result of this study, we'll be able to better discern between good and evil. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I realize it's this type of teaching, God, it endeavors to pull back the layers, God, to reveal things for what they are, to take the mask off, things that the enemy would try to present as good and favorable for us, God. And help us, God. We need your guidance. We need your wisdom, Lord. We need as a people to be able to discern between good and evil. We need to be able to separate thoroughly the difference between the two, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God, for the opportunity to be here, God, to learn of you, God, to look into your scripture, God, and have revealed unto us the difference. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God. We give you glory for who you are and what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you go, I do want to announce, hopefully many of you have received in mail, an invitation to Brother and Sister Spann's 50th wedding anniversary. It was not communicated on the invitation, so hopefully you have not said anything to them because it is a surprise. Their family is endeavoring to surprise them. If you have received an invitation in the mail and you've responded, can you raise your hand? Just real quick, I need a count. If you've received an invitation in the mail and you've responded, okay. They use our church directory, so they may have out some address. If you are interested in going, it is on Sunday, September the 18th. It is after service. It's from 1:00 to 3:00 at the VFW building in Plano. If you are interested in going, please come see me. They need a head count so they can make sure they have enough food. If you're interested in going, please come see me and tell me, yeah, Pastor, I'm planning on going. And that way I can give them an approximate number of the people that were coming from this church. Obviously, I realize it's a Wednesday, not a Sunday, but I could only do it when the Spanns were not here, obviously. And if you can come tell me, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. God bless.